Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read verse number 10 and verse number 11. It said, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall is his own conceit." Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that that which we read this morning, because it is your word, we know it's absolute truth. And Father, once again this morning, we need your help, we need your power, we need your wisdom. You know what this preacher needs this morning. And Father, I just need you, and I need you to help me. And so I ask you, Lord, to do that which is right and proper in each and every one of our lives. If there's one here this morning that's without Christ, I would pray that that one would come to the Lord this morning and be saved. I pray, Father, for we as God's children, Lord, that the will of God would be done in each one of our lives. And Lord, once again, I want to thank you for who you are and how great you are. Use us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our text this morning, one of those wonderful truths that each and every one of us, I'm sure, has been there. There's been special times in our life when we've had to run to the Lord and hide in His tower. And I'm sure everybody's been there. I feel comfortable. I've been a Christian very long. You've had to. Joe Nall isn't out of his tower yet, but he had to run there just last week. And had a heart problem and wasn't expecting it. And God just absolutely reached down and done some wonderful things for him and took care of him, watched over him, got him to the hospital at the perfect timing. Amen, Brother Joe. And it caused him not to have permanent damage to his heart because all things got kind of stopped. He was right in the midst of the heart attack. So we like that when our God does those things for us and for our people. And then went to Indianapolis, and a stent was put in one of his arteries, and home, doing well. As far as I know, anyway, I haven't got a chance to talk to him, doing well, and we're thankful and grateful. There's times like that in your life when you must run to the tower of the Lord. In fact, maybe it's where we ought to live. Maybe that's the way it ought to be. But there are special times when we do run to his strong tower. And the Bible talks about that we must seek it out. We must run to it. In other words, it's there. It's ready. It's for us. But we must run to it. The very next verse talks then about, and of course in that verse, number 10, he talked about that the Lord's name is our strong tower. We run to his name. We run to him. The very next verse tells us what the strength is of the rich man. Said the rich man's wealth is his strong city. And he says, and as a high wall is his own conceit. The difference between the righteous man who runs to the Lord and who the Lord's name is his high tower, and the rich man who his strong city is his riches. It's what he depends upon. That's what he looks to. That's his life. And whenever he needs strength, he depends on the riches as his strength. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to take you to three different places in the Bible. We're going to begin over in Luke, the 18th chapter. And we're going to look this morning at three different places in the Bible. And I'm going to show you that riches many times determine choices. Riches determine choices. And we want to just show you three different situations that'll maybe help us this morning. You say, Brother Ross, here you are preaching about riches, and Brother Ross, I don't know if there's a rich person in this room. And that very well may be true. I don't know whether you're rich or not, or whether you're not rich, or you are rich, or whatever, but let me share something with you. The same choices that what the Bible would consider a rich man, we in America had to make those same choices. And what is riches to you? You may not think you're rich, but more than likely we're a lot richer than we think we are. Amen. So what I'm saying is these choices and determinations that's made from these three different scriptures, I think, ought to help us in the choices that we make. There's certain choices we make, some we make in the beginning of life, or early, let me say, the youngness of our life, youth, that will last a lifetime. That's what scares me sometimes. I mean, it really does. As a preacher, I look around, and I really do. I just get scared sometimes of some of the choices that young people make. Now, I understand, because I was young once. Now, they don't know that. They think I've been an old guy all my life. And they think I think like an old guy because that's what's the matter with me. I'm old. But they don't understand. I was young once, too, and I know the difference. I know exactly what they're thinking. I know why they're thinking it. But I also know many of them are making wrong choices. And I'm not just talking about young people like this. I mean, I certainly am talking to them, but I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about young couples. I'm talking about young people in life in general, and they make wrong choices because they do not follow the scriptural choices. Now, I'm going to show you what Rich has done to three different people in the Bible. The first one, of course, is in the book of Luke, the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. He says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." We're going to stop there for just a few moments. We find that this was one of the rich men of the Bible. And this rich man was faced with a decision that he had to make. He come face to face with Jesus Christ. I mean face to face with him. The other accounts in the Bible tell us, in over the book of Matthew, the book of Mark also gives this same account and adds truth to it that this one does not give us. One of the things is, of course, here it says he's rich. We're told that he is rich. Over in, I think it's the book of Mark, we're told he's young. He's young. He was of youth. We're told also that he was a ruler. He was over people. I don't know what kind of ruler. I don't know how many people he was over, but the Bible calls him a ruler. So we know he was rich. We know he was young. We know he was a ruler. And we know that this young man, one of the reasons I know he was young, because the Bible said he came running to Jesus. You get my age, you'd be walking to Jesus. But anyway, he was running. And also, he had enough about him. When he got to Jesus, he knelt down. The Bible says he knelt down, kneeling before Jesus Christ. I know something else about him is the Bible tells us, and again, I think this is in the book of Matthew account, but the Bible says that Jesus beheld him and loved him. We also know that he was loved of Jesus Christ very, very much. But he had a decision to make. Here he is, young man, getting ready to go through life. He's faced with Jesus Christ right before him. And Jesus offers unto him, really was offering unto him eternal life, although he went and told him to go and sell all he had. He knew that was the one thing in his heart that was more important to him than Jesus Christ was. And he was faced with the decision. Now, let me just ask a question now for all of us, and let's just take a little account here, and let's say that right up here, there was $3 million laying. $3 million. And this morning, someone gave you a choice of eternal life or the $3 million. Now remember, that $3 million is yours. You can walk out of here, you can go spend it, you can do with it whatever you want to. You're set for life. Now you can take the $3 million or you can get saved. Now, according to Jesus here, you couldn't have both. You know why? Because that money in his heart meant so much to him. Ask yourself, put yourself in that position. You walk right down here, and now we could be real spiritual, you know, and we'll, oh, sure, I'd take Jesus Christ. But put yourself in that place. What would you take? Walking out of here with $3 million, do out and do whatever you want, or get saved. Now, that is probably not a very good illustration, but that's basically, to some degree, what this young rich man did. He had all kinds of wealth. And Jesus had just told him to give it up. And the Bible says he became very sorrowful, very sad. Because, why? Because he was very rich. Riches is what determined this young man's decision to turn Jesus Christ down. Amen? Riches is what done it. Now you say, well, Brother Ross, you don't have $3 million. I don't have $3 million. Well, let me tell you, them same decisions are being made every single day. Because what people is making the decision to do is not that they have $3 million laying there, but they have a future of able to make a whole bunch of money, and they choose that over serving God. You see, early in life, we make a whole lot of decisions that's going to determine the rest of our life. We're going to find out what happens here to a man in just a few moments, which I think was a middle-aged man. Here we have a young man. Many of you out here are young. I see your faces. They're young faces. And determinations are being made. Choices are being made in your life on what direction you're going to go for life. Well, you say, I can have Jesus Christ as my Savior and still make a fortune, but listen to me. I'm not saying you buy salvation. You certainly don't. But listen to me. When you put riches ahead of God in your life, even though you say, I'm saved, you absolutely give up serving God, and you put riches first. Now, you say, well, Brother Ross, can I have them both? No, the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. Impossible. One of them you will serve. You will give yourself to. That will be the priority of your life, one or the other. Amen? So this young man chose not to get saved. He chose to keep his riches. And then Jesus said something in verse number 24. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? In other words, he says, people who have riches are very, very, very in danger of never going to heaven. It's hard for them to go to heaven. Why? Because their riches mean so much to them. And he goes on and says, for it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now here you've heard the story, and some of them think that needle's eye there was one of the small doors in the temple, and it was called the eye of the needle, and they would camels would get down and crawl. It would have to crawl through it like this to get through it. And I'm not sure whether that is true or not, but I do know this: when God said it'd be hard for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, He means that. And He said it'd be almost as hard. It'd be as hard for a rich man to do it. Why? Because riches mean so much to people that they're not willing to give up the riches to serve God. Then he says this. And they heard it. He said, well, then who can be saved? Well, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. God could put a camel through an eye. I have a needle if he wants to. Made them both, and he'd do whatever he wants. He's very capable. Amen. Powerful. So what I'm saying is, he's saying unto us, is it possible for rich men to be saved? Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely, it's possible for rich men to be saved, you see. But they had to come to Jesus the same way as anybody else comes. Now listen to what he says. And he said, the things which are impossible with God, with men, are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life eternal, everlasting. And what God is trying to get us to do is realize this. You're going to make two choices. You're going to make one of two choices. You're going to figure that the things God has for you and for your life, the plan He has for you in your life, is much more important and worth more than what the world has for you. I don't care how many riches you may come up with, they're not going to in any way compare to the riches that Jesus Christ has for us. And what he's trying to do is get people to make a choice to not choose the riches of this world, but to choose to serve God and be what God wants them to be for the rest of their life. And people are making those choices every day. Young people make them. I see them, and I see them in little decisions of their life. I see it in big decisions of their life, but I see them bending a certain direction. And in the way that a tree is bent is the way it will grow. And I see these decisions being made, and it scares me as a preacher, as a pastor. It really scares me because I know what's coming down the road. I know it's going to be a life that's dedicated to riches or the obtaining or the hopefully obtaining of riches more than it is the service of God Almighty. Now, folks, you can't serve them both. You can't be a servant of both. It's either mammoth or God. Amen? So this young man here in early in life made a choice. I'm going to keep my riches. And many in this room this morning will make those same choices. Are making those same choices right now. What direction in life? What is going to be the most important thing to me? What's going to be the priority of my life? You're making those choices right now. Amen. Now we're going to go back to the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. And I'll show you why I believe this, but I believe that this man that we see here, again, it's a rich man. I believe in this portion of Scripture we're seeing a man who is middle-aged. I'll explain to you why I believe that. He says in verse number 16, he says, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Now, it did say he was rich. It said he's rich. Amen? He's a farmer. And his land brought forth plentiful. Listen to what it says. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room whereto to bestow my fruits? And he says, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And listen to what he says. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much foods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And I believe right there tells us that he was figuring on living for a lot of years. I think personally he was in the middle of his life, what we would call mid-age. He had all he wanted. He had spent a whole lifetime on riches. That had been his life. He comes to the middle of his life and he looks ahead and he says, you know what, I've got a lot of years, because it says many years. I've got a lot of years ahead of me, and you know what, I am just going to build some big barns and bigger barns, and I'm going to store all this stuff up, and I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to eat pizza. I'm going to eat caviar. I'm going to eat all of these things that I want to eat. I'm going to sit back. And I'm going to go fishing when I want to go fishing, hunting when I want to go hunting, and just travel when I want to travel, and I'm going to do all these things, and that's what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Many, many years I've got, and I'm going to enjoy life. Now, do you know what determined his choice there? Riches. He'd become a very rich man. He had all he wanted. His ground had just been fertile ground and brought all kinds of goods forth from that ground. If he had not had those things, he wouldn't have been sitting around questioning if he was going to take it easy for the rest of his life. Riches determined, here he is, riches determined that he was going to take it easy for the rest of his life, and he was still going to leave God out. Now, you know, no way for me to know that, and I don't have no reason to believe it's true, but let's look at the man back in Luke 18, see him as a young man, and now we see a man in middle age. Is it the same fellow? If it isn't, it's certainly one like him, who at early age, somewhere along the line, had made the wrong kind of decisions. He had decided that he was going to serve mammon for the rest of his life. He had made that determination back early in life. And here he is, middle age. He's still serving mammon, still serving his riches. That's his whole life. never goes soul winning, never tells anybody about Jesus Christ, never does anything for God. That's where he's at in life. He made that determination way back when he was a young man. And many people in this room could be this very same way. You could make that determination that you're going to live for the riches of this world. And in midlife, you're going to look around and you'll still be living for the riches of this world. Never have done anything for God whatsoever. You may say you're saved. Good. I'm glad you are. I'm glad you're going to heaven. But you've never done a thing for God. You've never counted for eternity. You've never won a soul to Jesus. You've never been a witness. You've never been responsible to get anybody into the house of God. And you know why? Because you've determined in your life a long time ago that riches is your thing. That's what you're after. So you come to midlife and here you are looking and saying, man, I've got all kinds of life. You know what? I've got years ahead of me and I'm just going to just take it easy. I'm going to start coasting. If you'd asked Joe Null this morning, he'd say, you know, you better not coast too easy. Joe, how old are you? 49 years old. I think that's what this guy was. Only the difference was, but Joe, the reason I'm saying that Joe didn't have any idea he was going to get up. He came to church on Sunday and then on wasn't it Monday or Tuesday? Monday morning, yes. Monday, he got up and ended up in the hospital. He had no idea about that. Thank God Joe's a Christian, loves the Lord, and I'm so grateful for that. And that's what makes all the difference. But what I'm simply saying is, folks, you and I don't know what Monday morning's going to bring. Did you know, honestly, did you know everybody gets sick on Monday? Did you know that? That's my day off. Joe had that planned. Joe said, I could get sick on Tuesday or Wednesday, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get sick on Monday. And just about everybody that has a heart attack has one on Monday. Huh? Yeah, Tuesday's his day off. I'm going to put in our church constitution, it's illegal to have a heart attack on Monday. Now everybody's going to look at that and say, oh, Brother Ross, don't want to be. I wanted to be right where I was at. I'm not worrying about a day off. I'm kidding. You understand that? I'm kidding. I want to be exactly where I should be, and I should have been with Joe Null and his wife. That's where I wanted to be. But what I'm simply saying is he had no idea that was going to happen. Now, folks, this guy didn't either. Now, the very next verse in verse number 20 says this, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Oh, what a statement. You see, the whole thing about it is every single one of us is laying up some kind of treasure. We're either laying it up here on earth for ourselves, and this man was a very selfish man. If you read through this story, you'll find out. Look at it from the standpoint that I just said. He's a very selfish man. He was interested in only one thing, what him and his family had. That's all he cared about. He didn't care about the work of God, didn't care about any of those things, as long as him and his family got rich. That's all he cared. Right. And it came to an end. And God said, you're done. Now, who's the riches belong to? Relatives to fight over. Here he was, middle life, and God took him home. Now, he'd spent all of his life living for riches. He had no treasure whatsoever laid up in heaven, none. He wasn't even a saved man. He had just left God completely out of his life. Now we have one more in the book of Luke. But folks, listen, before we leave there in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, before we leave there, riches is what caused him to continue in his choice of the way he was going to live. Riches did it. He was a certain rich man. Each one of these portions I'm giving you is rich men. And they determined the decisions they made for life. Now look at Luke 16, verse 19. And there was a certain rich man. Once again, we have a rich man. Which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Here we have a man who is absolutely rich. The Bible says he is. He had everything he wanted. He had all the fancy clothing. I mean, any kind of clothing he wanted, it was fancy clothing. I mean, it was bought from the finest stores. He lived sumptuously. I mean, he lived a life of everything he wanted. Whatever he wanted to do, he just did it. Okay? Now, what caused him to be able to do that? His riches. Why, again, was he a man who absolutely, now, I don't know what age this man was. The Bible doesn't tell us, but he could have been on down farther in life. It could have been just time when God said, that's it. I don't know how old he was, but we do know this. He had lived a life sumptuously with everything he wanted. His whole life was wound around riches, attaining riches. And we know also he had never been saved. Never been saved. Why? Because he went to hell. Now, riches here cause him to die in his sins. The riches, you know why God mentioned this in verse 19? You know why God talked about that? Because that had become his way of life. That was more important to him. He could say a lot of things about this rich man, but he said, I want to tell you he was a rich man. I want to tell you he lived sumptuously. He had all kinds of fancy clothing. I want to tell you that he had everything he wanted. I want you to know that. That's what caused him to live the way he lived, and he left God out. And then it tells about a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. You know the story of Luke 16. You know it. You've heard it. You've heard it preached many, many times. I've preached it many times. You know the story. You see, this man died, went to hell because he served riches. Now, we know he went to hell because he never received Jesus Christ. We know that. But what caused him never to receive Jesus Christ? His riches. What caused him to live a life, ungodly life, never doing anything for God? His riches. Now you say, Brother Ross, we're not rich. We're not. Oh, but you're making the same choices. You're making the same choices these men made. Early in life, you are going to make choices what direction of life you're going to. Are you going to attain to some greatness? Is that what's in your mind? You want to have money. You want to have bank accounts. You want to have all kind of money. And you're looking toward that. And you're going to get the best job you can get so you can be rich. And so you can have all you want one of these days. You're making a choice. You're making a choice. It don't hurt me to have a lot of goods. No, you're making a choice. You're putting that ahead of God. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, why don't we just do it this way? Why don't we younger in life just simply say, God, you choose for me what I should do, what I should be, what direction of my life. Not to obtain riches, but God, why don't you just determine what is best for me and then give me whatever you want to give me. Oh, we don't want that. We want to take it out of God's hands. God might not give us enough. You know, God might not do it according to my plan. You hear me, young people? I'm not going to just talking about teenagers. I'm not just talking about these young people. I'm talking about young people in life, young couples in life. What direction are you going? Does God mean anything to you? Are you going to choose God and His way? Or if you are, you've got it determined. And here's how you can determine it. Listen to me. Here's how you can determine it. Can you, in your heart right now, I mean in your heart right now, be willing to say, God, I don't care what direction you take me in life, I'm willing to go your direction, whatever you decide for me, I'm willing to do it, and I'm just going to put my plans aside, and I'm going to let you plan my life. Can you do that? Right now, there's rebellion rising up. Say, now, wait a minute, you're taking everything out of my hands. That's right, we're putting it in God's hands. And this young man back in Luke 18 now wishes that someone had taken it out of his hands. Amen. Because you know what? You live that life. You say, well, when I get middle-aged and get everything I want, then I'll serve God. No, you won't. You'll be just like the guy in Luke 12.
Yes, sir.
You'll just want more riches. You never get enough. A rich man never gets enough. He always wants more. You say, I'll be different. No, you won't. And by this, and also, you have spent your life outside of the will of God, doing nothing for God, no treasures laid up whatsoever. And a person who does not receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior comes down to that place where he dies and goes to hell. You know why? Because he loved riches more than he loved his own soul. Now you say, Brother Ross, you know, I've been preaching for 28 years and I've heard every story practically that you could tell me. I've heard them. And I've watched it. And I've watched young people grow up, what was going to be the principle of their life. Some have decided, I'm just going to be godly, I'm going to serve God, I'm just going to do the best I can, and God's got them in jobs different around places, and God has just helped them and blessed them, and they're serving God today, they work in their church, and they're living for the Lord, and they're giving to the Lord's work, and they're just doing what God wants them to do. And then I also see other young people grow up, and I watch them, and I see that the main thing in their life is, I want to be somebody, and I want to have something. And I watch them. You watch them. They're the ones that you'll never see win a soul to Christ. They're the ones who will never get involved in anything, truly get involved in the things of God, in the work of God at the church. Or they may come, but they never do anything for the Lord. You know why? Because their whole dedication of life is to making a name and making money. I've seen them. I still see them. And all I'm trying to do is this. You see, as a preacher, I understand something. I can't make your decisions for you. You'll make them. Just like I made my decisions. Amen? And you'll make yours. I'm simply saying, you know, wouldn't it be much better if we just simply give our heart and our life to the Lord and say, God, you just plan my life out. Just plan it out. And whatever that is, if it means that I may live with not hardly anything, that's all right, God. Don't make a difference. I'll just live with what you plan for me. And God, you may choose to give me extra. Who knows? And if you do, it's okay. I'll use it for the glory of God. Amen. So now, folks, decisions will be made in life, and all this preacher this morning is trying to do is try to make you realize riches have a determining factor on your choices. Whew. And they do determine the choices of life, if you let them. So I'm asking you, don't let them. You see, the Bible says this, and I'm going to be closing. Listen to what it says. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Treasure doesn't follow heart. Heart follows treasure. Whatever your treasure is, whatever you cherish in life, that's where your heart is going to be. So I can go out and I can be rich and I can do all. No, that's where your heart is. I mean, that's where your treasure is. So that's where your heart is too. So I have a heart for God, not if you're following treasures. Because your heart is where your treasure is. And that's where it's going to remain. So I'm asking you this. I'm just simply asking you, trying to get you to make proper decisions. Don't be like this rich young ruler. And I've thought about this so many. I can almost see Jesus Christ looking at him. Because the Bible says that he beheld him. That word beheld is not a casual glance like I might glance over at Brother Brewer over there and just kind of glance over. It's beheld him. Look at him. And then he says he loved him. Jesus wanted so much for him to make the right decisions. And you know what? I certainly don't want it even a comparison to what Jesus Christ wants it. But do you know, I want you to make right decisions too. I want down the road for you to be able to look back at middle age and say, I've served God. And when you get ready to go on into eternity, I want you to be able to simply say, oh, I wasn't the most brilliant person. I didn't do everything maybe everybody else did, but I just did what God wanted me to do. That's it. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes, bow our heads. Say, Brother Ross, this morning I'm just real sure, I know, that if I died this morning, I would go to heaven. Now, the reason I know that is because I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's been a time, according to the Bible, what the Bible says is you must be born again. There was a time when I was born again. I know that. No, I didn't say join a church. I didn't say even get baptized. Those are great, wonderful things, but I mean being born again. Say, Brother Ross, I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven because I'm born again. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Thank you so much. Say, Brother Ross, I could not raise my hand because I'm just not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I sure am concerned about it. Now, I always try to tell you this because I don't want anybody to think if you raise your hand that I'm going to call you out and make a spectacle of you or anything. I'm not going to do that. All I'm going to do is pray for you. And I won't even call your name out in prayer except if I know you, it'd be in my private prayer. But say, Brother Ross, I'm concerned about it. I do not know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I want you to pray for me. Will you just raise your hand? Just put your hand up and you can put it right back down. Just put your hand up. Someone here say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned. Someone please. Thank you. See those hands. Someone else. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm just not sure. So how about somebody else? And I want you to pray for me. Someone else. I'm just not sure I'm saved. Someone else. All right, you say, Brother Ross, you know, this morning that message hit me. My whole life is directed toward the making of money. In other words, I really want my life to be what I want it to be, not what God wants it to be. I'm not willing, really. I haven't been willing to just let God have it. But this morning, I realized that I need to do that. Would you say, Brother Ross, I need to do that. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else. Thank you. God bless you. Just want to be what God wants me to be. I'm willing to give my heart and life to Him, whatever. Someone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put it down. Heavenly Father, thank you again today for your wonderful love for us and your kindness and goodness. And once again, I pray for those, Father, who know not Christ as their personal Savior. I would pray this will be the day, Lord, that they would step forward when we begin to sing, that they'd come forward, let these gentlemen here deal with them and help them to know exactly how they can be saved. I pray for them. I pray for, Lord, those who have indicated they just need to let God be the one who directs their life, and Lord, to take them where He wants them to go and what He wants them to do, and they're willing to do that. I pray for them and ask you to encourage their hearts and help them to seal that decision. Now, Father, your will be done in these services. Ask you, Lord, that you be honored and glorified in all things. We'll praise you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.